We're back now? All right, good. All right, there we go. I'm getting a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I'm not really sure. Go. All right, James chapter 5 in your Bibles tonight, please. James chapter 5. I was thinking about that song, in times like these. You know, sometimes you think, oh, in these days or these times. But you have a Savior, you have the Bible, and you have an anchor. And so the times are going to change. They're not going to get better. I hate to tell you that, but it's the truth. But until the Lord returns, but God is still the same, and God's Word is the same, and we have a Savior, and we have an eternity looking forward to heaven. James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse number 7 through 12 tonight, and read those verses this evening. James 5, and verse number 7, the Bible says, in James 5, verse number That makes more sense. James 5, verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." Last week, we were covering the subject of being patient until the Lord's return. And being patient is not sitting and doing nothing, but being patient is waiting that earnest expectation that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. Any moment, any day, could be today. Maybe today, my Lord will come for me. Maybe today, my Savior, I shall see. And what a blessed thought that is. Not maybe like he could, you know, like maybe he'll come. He is going to come. Every day that passes is one moment, one day closer to the Lord's return. And guess what? One day closer to heaven. Wonderful, wonderful thought that is. But that patient waiting for the Lord is waiting. It's watching. It's looking. Keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. It's walking with God. Spending time with God. We'll get to be with God for all eternity. But we should be walking with God now. Spending time with God now. We'll see Him face to face, but now let's be walking with Him. Let's be working for the Lord. That patience waiting for God's return isn't sitting doing nothing. It's if He could come any day, any hour, any moment, and yes, He could. God knows that time. We don't. And we've got to be working. There's much work to be done, and then we've got to be witnessing. We've got to be witnessing and telling people about Jesus Christ and telling him he's coming soon. There's a real heaven, a real hell, but there is God's word to tell us the Bible way to heaven. We had someone come to our house to do some service at the house the other day, and as he was leaving, I grabbed a track and gave it to him and invited him to come. And as I did, and he said, "Oh, my family's been looking for a church." And I said, "Praise the Lord." And I said, "Hey, I know a good church." And so talked for a moment there, but people are looking. They're looking for the truth. They're looking for hope. This world doesn't offer a whole lot of hope. But in the Lord, we do have hope. So patience, waiting, looking, working, waiting for the Lord's return. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. You know, we don't have to have the woe is me mentality, right? As Christians, well, I guess I'm just going to have to wait till God returns. So things may not be great, but guess what? We have an anchor, right? We have the Bible. So let's not be discouraged. We have hope. Others don't have hope. In these verses we looked at, five times in the six verses, it talks about having patience. As I mentioned last week, I'm the wrong person to teach on having patience. I don't have a lot of patience, but I need it. And we'll look at what brings patience. And you're not going to like it. I have to say that. but patient waiting for the Lord's return. And then tonight we're going to look at the subject of being patient in trials and tribulations. Told you you weren't going to love that. patience in trials and tribulations. As you look at these verses in verse number 10 and 11, the Bible says, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." We must be patient waiting for the Lord's return, but during that time period of waiting for God's return, let's be honest, there's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties. You probably faced them today, and I'll be honest, you're going to face them tomorrow and each day until the Lord returns. But let's not be discouraged by that. But what do we do in the midst of those trials through the difficulty that the Lord allows us to go through? Turn back to James chapter 1 and verse number 2. And this book starts out in James 1:1, "James, the servant of the Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." Immediately after the greeting, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And immediately in the book of James, it starts going to trials, to temptations, to difficulty. Think about the New Testament church. They had it easy, didn't they? They had it easy. They were welcomed with open arms everywhere that they went. And they said, "You're a Christian. We love you." Welcomed into their home. They saw many saved and baptized and added to the church, but with a whole lot of trials and temptations and difficulty. And look at what the Bible says, to count it all what? Joy. We'll look at that later on. But I've never looked at my trials and thought, "Praise the Lord, I have a new trial today. Something else aches. I've got another bill in the mail. Praise the Lord, I needed more trials today." But the Bible says, "Count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The trying of your faith. God's going to try our faith, but it's going to work patience. In James chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible says, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So when we face trials, we can say, "I quit, I give up, I'm done." Or you can just keep going on for the Lord. You know what I've learned? That complaining about my trials don't make them any better. Complaining about the bills and the aches and the stuff, and we could go on, but I don't want to depress you tonight. But we could go around the room and we could give a whole list of all the trials that we're facing, but complaining about them never made them better. Quitting on God never made them better. Arguing, fighting, didn't make them better. So we're going to go through the trials so we can go through them the right way or the wrong way, with God or without God. But I choose to go through them with God than without God. You know why? Because here's the thing. Everyone's going to go through trials, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. Everyone's going to go through difficulty. But as a Christian, you get to go through it with God's help. You ever go through the hospital and you think, "This is tough, but I couldn't do it without God." And then you think, "Man, what about those that are trying to do this without the Lord?" People need help. They need hope. And they look at you and say, "How did you go through that?" With a smile on your face and praising God and praying and encouraging, you think, "With God." But what a great time to be a witness when you're going through trials and someone says, "How do you do that?" And you say, "You know what? Let me tell you about God." And patient in trials and tribulations. I realize this also. We don't get to choose our trials. Did you notice that? I didn't get to choose. God didn't say, "What do you think about this trial today? Is today a good day?" You know, God doesn't say, "Would you like option A or option B?" And if God said that, I would say, "What's option C? Is there a none of the above answer here?" God doesn't ask, but God brings the trials as He sees fit. And it comes through the hand of God. Realizing that as a Christian, the trials that we have, they come through the hand of God. So God has allowed them into our life for a reason and for a purpose. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, please, in verse number 3. The Bible has much to say about trials. We're not going to cover everything tonight, but a few points that I believe can be a help. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." You say, time out. James chapter 1 said, we count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, I'm not finding joy in this. And then this verse here says, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I've never thought, praise the Lord for the trials. I'm glorying in them. But God, through the trials, is building your faith, building your trust in the Lord. I've never found joy and glorying in the trials, but many times I do the opposite. You ever do that? You know, you think, I'm not going to joy over them, but I'm going to, you know, you grumble. Maybe not out loud, but in your mind. Maybe not verbally, but nonverbal. And you ever do that before? And you're like, you know, and you just, you're grumbling to yourself. And, you're, and then your wife or husband says, what? And you say, nothing. You don't want to hear about it. I'll keep it to myself right in here. But trials are faith building. You realize that trials are faith building. You look back and you think, I wouldn't have wanted to know all the trials that were coming ahead. But you realize as you go through the trials that God has helped you each step of the way, and God is building your faith along the way. God is building your faith. And it says, and your tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So let me go through a few points today. Turn back to James, yes, please, in James chapter 5. How do we have patience in trials? How do we have patience in trials? What about that trial that seems like it's never going to end? What about the trial that seems to be bigger than you can seem to handle? How do we face trials the right way, and how do we get through them? We have patience in trials. Number one is this. We have examples to follow. We have examples to follow. Look at verse number 10. It says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. You ever seen the example of others? Let's backtrack to that. You ever been in your trial and all you could think about is your trial, your difficulty, your ache, your pain? And I'm not trying to make little of it, because the trials that we go through are difficult. They're not fun. They're not easy. You ever going through a trial and you get the Eeyore pity party, woe is me mentality? I won't have you raise your hand, because we've all been there. And you think, why me? Why now? How come? And then you look around and you think, but I'm not going through what they're going through. And they made it to church, and they're praising God, and they're praying, and they're encouraging. There's been a number of times where you hear about someone that's going through a difficulty, and you go to pray with them, encourage them, bring them a meal, write them a note, and they come and encourage you. And you think, how can you be encouraging me when you're going through those trials? And they gave you an example to follow. And you think, God, I was complaining about my difficulty before I came. And you think, I don't have anything to complain about. Does it mean I don't have difficulties? No. But it puts things into perspective sometimes. Not that what you're going through is nothing, but you think, if they can get through it, so can I. Right? And they encourage you. They give you patience, endurance through the trial. They give us examples to follow. An example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And then it says in verse number 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. We count them happy, they endure. To endure is just kind of like to grit your teeth and just to get through it. I don't like it, but I'm going to have to do it. I don't like shots. I don't enjoy them, but I think I can get through it, I can get through it, I can get through it, you know, if I have to. You think you're a wimp. Okay, maybe I am, all right? But the faith of others encourages you. Encourages you sometimes with realizing this. Sometimes we think, I've got it the worst. You ever think that? And you look around and you think, there's others that have it a lot worse than I do. Not making little of yours, but it helps you to think, you know what, if they can get through it, so can I. And remember this, in the middle of a trial, what is one thing that you don't say? When things are bad, what is one thing you don't say? It can't get any worse. You don't say it. Why? Because God's going to help you to see maybe it could get worse. Today could not get any worse. And you've not even got out the door. You got a lot of hours ahead of you and a lot of things that could go wrong. Now for you worriers, don't look ahead. Don't worry. Don't think ahead. Deal with what God has given to you at that time. It encourages me when I come to church and I see that person that they struggle just to get here and they're teaching a class and they're in the choir and they're driving a bus and they had a tough week and you think, man, look at the example that they gave us to follow. But look at the Bible examples that we have. In verse number 11, God gave us an example of maybe the greatest trial that any human has endured other than the suffering that Jesus went through on the cross for our salvation. And in verse number 11, it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. And then it says this, ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Of all the trials, of all the difficulty that people have faced, but I'm not having a Job kind of a day, right? You think today is tough, but when Job is walking with God, he's right with God, and a servant comes and says, your children have been killed. Your livestock has all been destroyed. All the possessions that you've had. And then he loses his health. And then his wife turns on him. And then his friends turn on him. And Job was on the downward trend, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. You know that kind of day where you want to go and lock yourself in the room and put in your earphones and say, I'm not going to answer a call. I'm not going to talk to anybody because I don't want to hear the bad news anymore. That was the kind of day that Job was having. And it just kept coming and it kept coming and it kept coming. But you hear of the patience of Job. That Job struggled through that book, right? But he stayed faithful to God. In the midst of Job's trials, he said this, but he knoweth the way that I take. Think about that. He buried children. He lost everything that he had. Everyone that he loved and cared about turned their back on him. But he says, after all that, but he knoweth the way that I take. Job didn't understand why or how things were going to get better. But he said, but God knows. And he says, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What a great promise that he had, that patience, endurance that he had, that said, but God brought this, and God will help me to get through it. What a great example to follow. And it says this, he says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and have not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Man, what a great testimony that he had, that he said, though God take everything away from me, I'm still going to trust in him. As Christians, what a great testimony, as a reminder that the trial that I'm going through is to be faithful to God, but that others are watching. That you're encouraging others as you go through the trial, and they're staying faithful to the Lord as they watch your testimony, as your kids watch, as your spouse, as people in church, as the Lord watches your faithfulness and the patience that you have following the Lord. You encourage others by staying faithful to God. You're leaving an example for others to follow. So first, how do we have patience in trials? Realize that we have examples to follow. Others that have got through what you've gotten through and have stayed faithful to God. But also that as you stay faithful to God, that others are watching and following you as well. You think, no one's watching me. No one's paying attention. Yes, they are. People are watching you, and you're leaving an example for others to follow. Number two, how do we stay faithful in trials, have patience in trials? Realize that we have the Lord's help. You're not going through trials alone. You have the Lord's help. remember to swallow completely. That'd be helpful. All right. And the Bible says here, in verse number 11, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job." And it says, "And have seen the end of the Lord." Now think about that with Job. At the beginning, it seemed like the Lord deserted him, didn't it? It looks like God walked away from him. You ever been there before and you thought, "God, why? What did I do?" Sometimes it's not a bad place to be to think, "God, did I bring this upon myself? Is there something that I did where I've not been faithful to you and you're bringing correction in my life?" But at the beginning, Job must have thought, "God, why? What's happening? What do I need to learn from this?" And the Bible says here, but it says, "And you have seen the end of the Lord." At the beginning, Job didn't understand it all, and maybe at the end, Job didn't understand everything. At the beginning, it seemed like God had deserted him, but what about at the end? But what about when God brings that trial full circle? And you realize that God has not deserted you, that God has been with you all along. See, you're not going through trials alone. It says you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. To be pitiful is to be full of pity or kind. God doesn't bring trials on our lives just because it's like an evil puppet master. That he's like sticking the pins in the voodoo doll and thinking, "Ooh, look how I can mess with their life again." God does not try to bring harm upon his children, but God, again, is trying our faith. He's trying our faith. And the Bible says he's of tender mercy, that God is caring, that God is loving, that God is kind. God doesn't think, "Well, I don't care about my children." No, you're his child. He cares. He knows. That God's heart goes with you, and we'll look at a few points of this tonight. God doesn't give us trials to torture us or to be cruel, but to try your faith, to build you, but also to draw you closer to him. Why? Because when everything is good, sometimes when everything is good, we rely on ourselves. We distance ourselves from God. And then when the trials come, is many times when the time that you fall on your face. And you go to God in prayer and say, "God, I need you. I need you every day and every hour." And God says, "Yes, you do." And God tries our faith and he draws us closer to him. Remember this with Job, after all the trials that he went through, that God blessed Job with twice as much as at the beginning. I'll read the verses to you, but in Job 42, verse 10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. And he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. That God blessed Job twice as much at the end as at the beginning. At the beginning, you may be thinking, "Why? What's the purpose?" You don't see the end, and I don't see the end. But God does. You can trust God. In the middle of the trial, it may not be fun, it may not be easy, but God's end result is better. What God is working through your life in the trials, you can't see the end, but God does. A few points under this here, we have God's help. Number one is this, that God goes with you. God goes with you. You're not going through the trials alone. God goes through them with you. Don't you appreciate it when you're struggling and someone gives you a phone call? Someone sends you a note or a text or a meal? There's something comforting about food, right? You can be going through the worst day and someone brings you someone brings you a coffee, writes you a note, brings you a cookie, whatever it is, and they say, "Hey, just praying for you." And you think, "Wow, that helped me." But more than a cookie or a coffee or whatever it may be or a note, but to know that God is with you through the trials, you're not going through them alone. See, a friend may come and go. Someone may forget about you, but God will never forget about you. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He goes with you all the time. Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." You think I've got a big trial ahead. Not just you. God is going through it with you. Amen? You don't want to go through it alone. Too many times, the only reason we go through it alone is if we say, God, I've got this. And God said, okay, we'll see how it goes. And we stumble and fall on our face and we go back and say, God, let me try that again. Would you help me to go through this? And said, yes, I will. God goes with you. Next, God strengthens you. You think, but I'm weak. I can't do it. I'm struggling. God strengthens you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You say, God, I don't have the strength to go through this. I don't know how I can face it. I don't know how I'm going to get to the other side. And God says, you can't, but I can. Amen? Without Him, we can do nothing. God is strong when we are weak. You have those days where you think, God, I'm just weak. And you say, God, I need your help. And God says, yes, you do, and I'll give you strength to get through it. Not only does God go with you, He strengthens you, but God comforts you. And Psalms 23, what a great psalm, my favorite. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear, what's the next two words? No evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. To know that God goes with you through the dark nights and the dark valleys, and that He goes with you to comfort you. To know that God's alongside of you. God, next one, that God directs you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you think, I don't know what decision to make and what the next step is to take. That's okay, God does. And you pray and follow God's direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That God directs you. In trials, you may think, I don't know what to do. Don't listen to your own mind and your own heart. That's a dangerous thing to do. When you're sad and upset or angry or whatever it may be, you say, God, I need your direction. What does the Bible say? Where does the Holy Spirit lead you? Go to God in prayer and say, God, I need you to direct my path. But also know this, that God works all things together for good. Amen? You think, well, the trials are hard. Yes. But God works all things together for good. You know the verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that, what's the next two words? All things work together for good. How could God work it out together for good? Because it's His plan, and it's His timing, and it's His way. And it says, He works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's why you don't walk away from God during a trial. That's why you don't say, I quit church and I quit my Bible time and I quit living for God. And then you're doing it on your own. You don't want to do it on your own. I don't want to do it on my own. I can barely go through it with God. How can I do it without God? God works all things together for good. How? How could God turn Job's situation out together for good? Well, He blessed him twice as much, but we, for all the rest of time, we'll read back to the trials of Job. And think, if Job could do it, I can do it. If Job had patience and hope, I can do it as well. So how do we have patience? We follow the examples of others. We have the Lord's help. Amen? And what we could stop there. But also, number three, our trials will end someday. Right? Someday the trials will be done. They'll be done. They'll be finished. They'll be completed. Whether in this life or in eternity. You can't guarantee someone, oh, it's going to get better. I don't know if this trial is going to get better. It could get worse. I don't want to discourage you. But someday in heaven, it'll all be done. It'll all be done. Amen? Sometimes it seems like a trial will never end, but our trials are temporary. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's for a moment. You think, man, that seems like this trial is never going to end. It's for a moment. It's for a period of time. You say it's not light affliction and it doesn't seem like it's for a moment. Well, that's what God says. And it works for a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. 1 Peter 1:6 and 7 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. That refers back, if you will, to Job chapter 23. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God says it's but for a moment, and in here it says it's but for a season. And it says that it might be for the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. It's for a moment. It's for a season. You think it seems like it's forever. It won't be forever, because the next point, there will be no trials in heaven. Amen? Aren't you thankful for that? In Revelation chapter 21, you got to turn there. Revelation 21, verse number 4 and 5. We've got to read those verses together. Revelation 21, 5, 4 and 5, please. One day the cares of this life will all pass away. They'll be done. And the Bible says in Revelation 21, verse number 4, and it says here, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things, what's the next word? New. Isn't that great? All things new. In this life, are they all going to get better? Maybe not. But in heaven, all the tears wiped away. No more death, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more night. He said, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are what? True and faithful. Amen? That God's words are true and faithful. In heaven, all these things are going to be passed away. And the tears will be wiped away, and all things will be brand new. A new body, perfection in heaven. And the trials in life are going to be wiped away. They'll be not even a distant memory. There will be no more memory in them. They'll be passed away. What a blessed thought that is. The Bible says, we go back to James 1, verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The crown of the trials of life, being faithful until death. Guess what? Everyone's going to face the trials, but God blesses and rewards those that stay faithful to the end. Trials build your patience. They build your faith. I'm not praying for patience, because the trials bring that patience, but it builds your faith. Remember, it's an example for others to follow. But remember this, that they'll all be over someday. They'll all be done. They'll pass away either in this life or in the next. Either way, they'll be done someday. Stay faithful to the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.